Good morning and happy Sabbath. Good morning and welcome to the services here at the St. John's Seventh-day Adventist Church. Welcome to those listening on Lighthouse FM, to those watching us on the live stream, and of course to those who are here this morning sitting in the pews. Zara will be doing our scripture reading, and thanks to those up in the booth who are making all this possible that you can see and hear us. And thanks to Trudy on the piano, and thanks to Second Advent for our praise time, and we'll be doing the special music as well a little later. Our guest speaker today is Elder Joseph Richards from the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Canada, and his sermon is entitled, All the Words of This Life. And Elder Joseph will also be leading our morning prayer. For our call to worship this morning, I'm looking at Psalm 95, verses 1 to 2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day, for this special time in a busy week that you've given us to come apart from the world, to draw together close to you and to fellowship with each other. We want to pray, dear Lord, as we have come together now for this service, that we would feel the touch of your hand, we'd feel your Holy Spirit upon us as we lift our praises and our prayers up to you. Be with us this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn number 618, Stand Up for Jesus, and we'll all stand up for that hymn.
Happy Sabbath. Our scripture reading is from Acts 5:17 to 20. But the high priest rose up along with all his associates, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with jealousy. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in a public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the gates of the prison, taking them out. He said, "Go, stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole message of life." Amen.
We're going to sing the first verse of Whisper of Prayer as we prepare for our morning prayer.
Those who are able, let us kneel at this time. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. We thank you for the ability for us to come here into your house and worship your holy name. Father, we come with thanksgiving for leading us safely through another week, through the toils, through the obstacles, through all sorts of weapons that the enemy has pointed in our direction. Father, you are faithful, and you have brought us safely through another week, and we are thankful. Father, we are thankful for life. Thankful for what you are doing with our families. Thank you for keeping us in our right minds. Thank you for health. Thank you for strength. Thank you for all the things you have done, are doing, and will do in our lives. You are truly a good God. And Father, your people have come at this moment to pray. They come with petitions. Some are known to many, some are silent. But Father, you know them all. You know every anxiety and every worry. So at this very hour, Father, we just ask that your presence will abide with each and every person here, that they will feel your presence working through their lives in a mighty and powerful way. Oh, Father, sometimes it's so easy for us to forget, but bring to our remembrance that you are a very present help in times of trouble. Father, we ask for a special prayer for this church, your church right here in St. John's, for the leadership of this church and Pastor Etienne. We ask that you bless his ministry, that you guide him and his family as he leads this church, as he seeks to make an impact in the community, to bring more and more to a saving faith. Father, use him as your instrument. Work through him in a way that is remarkable beyond his wildest expectations. Oh, Father, we know that despite the struggles in the church, you are still the captain of your church. So continue to lead, continue to guide, continue to minister to your people. And Father, as we proceed through this service, be in the midst of it. Help our focus be aligned with yours. Help us not to be distracted, and help us to leave here renewed for the week and weeks to come. This is our humble prayer. In Christ's name, amen.
Anybody here, if it was up to you, would take the easy road? No pain, no sickness, all the bills are paid, no struggle? Nobody? But if it was up to me, I would.
Yeah, I like it easy, but that's not how it's been. I'm at the part of the movie when the good guy might not win. Did I take a wrong turn? Why do you have me here? I want that happy ending, not this one where I'm in tears. And yeah, we both know, if it was up to me, there'd be no gravel roads, no wounds, no blisters on my soul. Pain might come, but it wouldn't come for me. If it was up to me, I'd take the easy ride, but I'd miss the grace that changed my life. Thank God I'm not the one in charge of things. I'd never know how good your plans could be if it was up to me.
If it was up to me, I'd never taste the grace that meets me where I am. I meet the God who came and picked me up and taught me how to stand. He always has a purpose through the joy and suffering. I'd be crazy not to trust him with everything.
If it was up to me, there'd be no gravel roads, no wounds, no blisters on my soul. Pain might come, but it wouldn't come for me. If it was up to me, I'd take the easy ride, but I'd miss the grace that changed my life. Thank God I'm not the one in charge of things. I'd never know how good your plans could be if it was up to me. Your ways are higher, your ways are higher. You know what you're doing with me. Your ways are higher, your ways are higher. Put me where you want me to be. And yeah, we both know. If it was up to me, there'd be no gravel roads, no wounds, no blisters on my soul. Pain might come, but it wouldn't come for me. If it was up to me, I'd take the easy ride, but I'd miss the grace that changed my life. God, I'm not the one in charge of things. I'd never know how good your plans could be. If it was up to me, yeah, if it was up to me, if it was up to me.
I bring greetings from the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Canada, our president, Paul Llewellyn, it's a pleasure to be here. It's been, I believe, maybe fourth time in Newfoundland, and each time I come here, I am captivated by the scenery that we don't have in Ontario, not quite like this. I recall the first time that I was here. It was about maybe 2 years ago when I went to the top of Signal Hill and just sat and gazed as far as the eye could see. And you see the waters, and it seems as if they meet with the sky. And I said, how amazing is our God? How great is his creation? That you can just stare at his marvelous works. So it's a pleasure to be here. And so I solicit your prayers as I pray for you and your church and your ministry here in St. John's. I ask for your prayers for the Seventh-day Adventist Church as we seek. You know, we are facing all sorts of enemies, all sorts of obstructions. Can we say foreign and domestic? But brothers and sisters, we know with Jesus in the vessel, we can smile at every storm. And so with prayer, with seeking the wisdom from on high, we will be able to work together. One of our biggest biggest goals is to see how we as a church can work better together. You know, yes, we have conferences and this mission and the leadership there, and they're doing great things. How can we at the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Canada support your leadership to do what they need to do to reach souls for the kingdom? How can we work together? How can we learn from one another instead of being in silos and doing our own thing? We need to be efficient. We have limited resources. I don't know if you know what time it is, but we know that those resources will become more and more limited as time winds up on this earth. How are we using those limited resources that God has entrusted us with? Those are the questions that we are asking. So I solicit your prayers. Today I have a message. I believe I only have maybe five or six slides here, but I have a message that is entitled All the Words of This Life. I don't know what
your timing convention is. I recall there was one time, actually, in my home church in Sudbury, where I was told that I had until noon. And I, by the time I got up, it was 11:59. So I basically said amen and sat down. So I don't know, but I will go until I see some eyes, you know, closing and some nodding of heads. I will go until then as the Spirit moves. All the words of this life, will you pray with me at this time? Father in heaven, we just are seeking a word from above. Teach us this morning, is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me in the back? Because I feel like I'm a little low, but maybe that's fine. You can hear me? I'm seeing silence there in the back. You can hear me? That's good. You know, walking distance from my childhood home that is outside of Sudbury, Ontario, little French community, there's a fire station. And what's fascinating, as I was thinking about it, what's fascinating about firefighters is the power of their words in times of distress. To the injured, to the trapped, to the frightened, to the anxious, to those with poor vital signs, firefighters will say something like, "Stay with me. Help is on the way. Don't give up. I'm here." In chaos, these words, these few words, can save lives, calm hearts, and restore hope. And that is exactly the kind of moment that we step into as we look into Acts and the fifth chapter. A moment where lives are hanging in the balance. A moment of distress, a moment where an instruction from God offers refuge. In Acts and the fifth chapter, we find the apostles active in ministry. The sick are being healed, the demon-possessed are being freed, and crowds are gathering from the highways and the byways of Jerusalem. But as often happens in ministry, the greater the success, the greater the opposition. The Bible records, as we heard earlier, that the high priests and the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Apostles are arrested. They're confined and put in a common jail. But then an angel of the Lord shows up. Good things happen when a messenger from on high comes on the scene. For it is written, "But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.'" A miracle occurs. The prison doors are open, and the apostles are given a threefold command: go, stand, speak. In the shadow of persecution, with all of the opposition being flung their way, having been lied about, having their intentions being constantly questioned by those in authority, now Almighty God instructs them to go, stand, and speak. What is this? Because if I'm honest with myself, I've been in a few prisons in my lifetime. Not so much as a prisoner, but as a person who is in fact been representing those in distress. I see a hand up. Yes. Say that again.
Acts 5, the front part of
it. I said Acts 5, verses 19.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, 19, right there on the screen. Oh, can you see that?
Yes.
Oh, yes, it's right here. Acts 5 and verse 19 to 20. So I've been into many prisons in my life. I've even been to death row when I worked in Texas. And these are places you don't want to be. You don't want to go near it. And if somehow you come out of it, you never want to go back. If we're honest with ourselves, maybe it's just me, but if I'm honest with myself, if I were one of those apostles, I'd be a little bit confused. Come again, Lord. Thank you, yes, for helping us out, but I'm feeling it's the time now to lie low. I'm ready to hightail out of this prison. I'll do some work in the background. I'll sit in the back pew. That's okay by me. I've had my share of struggle. Now it's my time to be a little bit more quiet. Now it's my time to just survive, to live another day. Just give me a minute, God. I'm not ready to go back out and to face the wolves again. Just yet. But brothers and sisters, for the faithful, the Spirit of the living God is relentless. That still small voice will not be quieted. Oh yes, the angel of the Lord nudges and prods and prompts, go and stand and speak. That's where the rubber hits the road. The apostles are confronted. It's not so much in the text, but it's underlying in the text. The apostles are confronted with a series of unavoidable questions. How committed? How committed are we to go where God wants us to go? How willing are we to stand for the right though the heavens fall? How bold are we to speak as instructed all the words of this life? I submit to you today that the questions faced by the apostles millennia ago are the same questions God's end time people face today. Right here, right now in 2026, the people of God, people right here in St. John's are being asked to go, to stand, to speak all the words of this life. I can anticipate your very next question, preacher. Which words are we to speak? Because there are so many voices that are circulating in our world today. Which words truly matter? There's so many words that society, even some churches, consider popular and favorable to speak. There are various arguments and opinions and debates and distractions. There are various philosophies and theologies. And they are trafficked through every medium imaginable, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, through TV, Bluetooth, 4K. Every single manner These ideas will float and you will encounter them each and every day. Many, many words. Oh my, that was an accident. But nothing critical is there. There are many words. I'm left-handed, so you have to be careful. I use my hands to speak. There are many, many words, brothers and sisters. But which words are the right words? Which words authentically fulfill the definition as presented of all the words of this life? Well, I'm here to tell you that the answer to the question is not a mystery. We just need to let Scripture interpret itself. We need to get the context around this. Because as I always say, text without context, you're left with a con. We know the direction that was issued. The apostles did not delay. They did not shrink. They did not back down. For it is written in the very next verse, so at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told. They did what they were instructed to do. And they waited to teach? No, the Bible says immediately they began to teach. Clue number one. The Bible then records after a few verses that the captain of the temple guard arrested the apostles again. Of course, that was expected. Bringing them before the Sanhedrin, before the high priest, who confronted them with the charge. What was the charge? You'll get clue number two there. Verse 28. We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him. And you want to make us responsible for his death. The text is clear, brothers and sisters, just by reading those verses after. The apostles got in trouble for teaching in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They offended the officials because they were candidly describing the Messiah's sacrificial death, his resurrection, and how redemption is only available through his blood. Go, stand, speak all the words of this life. Which words, you ask, Christ and him crucified. In the shadow of the cross, in the midst of a struggle, at the moment of crisis, all the words of this life were not, are not, will never be just any type of words, any type of speech, any type of concocted commentary. The Spirit of the living God commissioned the apostles to speak plainly about the life-saving message of Jesus. Oh, how such words need to be our focus again today. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. And when we look closer, going even deeper into the word, I hope you can follow me here. If we go deeper and we look at the entire gospel, the Bible reveals that all the words of this life flow from a single source. The Word, who is life. Isn't it striking that many words are distilled from one word? I'm reminded of my sister, who is a physician. And physicians, they have many words. They ask many questions.
They diagnose. They explain how your body works. They give you warnings. But the most important words, the words if you've been to a doctor, you know. When you're there in the ER, when you go to that walk-in clinic, what is it that you're waiting for? You're waiting for the one word. They say many words, but you're waiting for the one word. What word are you waiting for? You're waiting for the remedy. You're waiting for the cure. You're waiting for them to do their chicken scratch on a piece of paper and tell you, this is what heals. Many words, but there's one word. On one paper, the prescription, the balm that soothes your specific malady. From many words comes one word. Go, stand, and speak all the words of this life. Speak the words that really matter. Speak the words that really transform. Speak the words that have power. Which words? Speak the words that flow from a life fully trusted to Jesus. Speak the words about one word, for it is written. You know this, you can recite this. Even with me, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. How comprehensive is the Word? In Him was life. Talking about a life-saving message. He's talking about Himself. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. Many are going through dark experiences. Many are facing dark forces. But understand, the Word of God says, and the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness, those forces have no chance. Because the darkness did not, will not, will never comprehend it. Will never overcome it, in other words. Oh, what a wonderful word. Words about a word, about the word, about the word filled with grace and truth. The word that became flesh and dwelt among us. What a necessary word. For the oppressed and for the downtrodden, for the sick and for the weary, for the anxious and for the afraid, to know simply that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. See how simple that is? See how simple it was explained here today in Children's Church? I don't know if that's by coincidence. But the title of the message for the children was what? The story of Jesus and Him crucified. Hallelujah. Amen. What a powerful word. Oh my. To know that there is one who loves us, loves you, loves me so much that He died for us. What a timeless word. A word that never grows old, a word that revives and that empowered the disciples in Jesus' day, but even the followers of Jesus Christ today. If only we would go, if only we would stand, if only we would speak of what Jesus has done and what Jesus is doing in our lives. Oh, what a testimony that would be to a perishing world, speaking about how great is our God. Go and stand and speak all the words of this life. Speak about the one word. You see, brothers and sisters, our mission is profound, but very simple. Scripture reminds us that faithfulness will not always be easy.
And that obedience has often come at a cost for God's people. We ought to know, as I often say, we ought to know what time it is. And it's not, you know, Newfoundland time, which is a little odd because you have, you know, that extra half hour, right? We need to know what time it really is. Things are only getting worse. I'm seeing that in the arena of religious liberty. Go to your neighbors. I can perhaps say your neighbors in Quebec, right? See what's happening there in their push towards, you know, secularism, where religion is being pushed out to the outer spheres. It's okay to believe, as long as you do it, you know, in the privacy of your home, with the curtains closed. Sound familiar? Well, going back to Daniel chapter 6. Well, laws are going to be made and are going to prevent us from openly expressing our beliefs. We got to know what time it is. And brothers and sisters, with all of those messages, with all of those voices that are circulating, our only solace is the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to go. We need to stand and we need to speak. We need to go where God wants us to go. I believe that in these days, God is going to send us to places we don't even have a clue where they are. And I'm not talking about the 1040 window. I'm talking about right here in St. John's. There are some missions that you are going to be commissioned to go on that you don't even know really exists. There's some people at your workplace that God's going to tell you to go and to stand and to speak. There's some people at the school that you attend. I believe our young people are going to be powerful witnesses in these days. Oh, because I'm seeing a fearless faith that is coming from our children. I'm seeing young people, oh, few as they may be, but I'm seeing them recite scripture. I'm seeing them being bold. I know God is going to do a work again as the final moments of Earth's history wrap up. We need to go where God wants us to go and not be like Jonah and resist that. Oh, I know it's tempting. I know it's alluring to just sit on our lazy boys and lazy boy chair and just relax and do the regular routine over and over again each and every week. But I believe there's a special work for God's people if they will only go follow the Spirit. We need to stand firm. We need to stand firm. In an era of relativism where everything goes and everyone is right about everything, God's people need to stand firm. We need to be like Daniel, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We need to stand firm for what is right, even when pressed from every side. We need to stand firm. We need to speak all the words that grow out of a consecrated Christian life, all the words that flow from and lead to one word, J-E-S-U. Heard one person say, two people say S. I'm glad we're together on this. One word, Jesus. This word is the hope for our communities, for our families, for our churches, and we need to share it. From time to time, and I'm about to close here, but from time to time we hear a story. Stories about, you know, a soldier who wrote a letter during the war, contains powerful, inspiring messages for someone back home, the reader, if they had received the message, key qualifier, if they'd received the message, they would have been inspired by it. They would have been changed somehow, but the letter, for one reason or another, was never delivered. I say that to say the trouble is not so much when the world rejects God's message, because that's expected. That's the norm. Jesus said that, you know, because of me, they're going to hate you. They're going to reject the word. The real tragedy, in the real sense of that word, tragedy, is when God's people have the word and never deliver it. Oh, yes, it is true that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Question is, who here today wants to be a laborer? Who here today wants to commit to follow the Spirit of the living God? Who here today says, I'm not going to be distracted or dissuaded, but I am willing to share that simple message of Christ and Him crucified? Oh, I just hope that someone here today recognizes that when we are speaking about the Word of God, this is not a trivial matter. These are not just words on the page. We're talking about words that give life, and they need to be shared. I want to share this quote here. You will have remember it from Christ Object Lessons, page 38. And see how the author beautifully expounds on this idea. Are you ready? We're about to close. And I'm not here to say that, you know, some preachers say, I'm about to close, about to close, about to close. I'm really about to close. This is the final slide, okay? So I'm giving you a promise and I intend to keep it. Here it is, Christ Object Lessons, page 38. The word of God is the seed. Every seed has in itself a germinating principle. In it, the life of the plant is unfolded. So there is life in God's word. Christ says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He that heareth my word and believeth on them that sent me has everlasting life. In every command, and in every promise of the Word of God, in the words, in every command, in every promise of the Word of God is the power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. He who by faith, we walk by faith and not by sight, he who by faith receives the word. Oh, this hit me. Is receiving the very life and character of God. If you read that and don't understand how powerful the word is, then I don't know. We're going to have some Bible studies after. Pastor Chen will have to work with you as well. Because, my friends, there's no other way to describe. When we are spending time in prayer, spending time in receiving the word, reading the word, meditating on the word, we are receiving the very life and character of God.
So how can we not share that? How can we not deliver that? Oh, how can we not impart that to those that we meet? If you get anything, if you don't get anything else from this message, understand this. God did not open the prison doors so the apostles could be silent. For God is not interested in our silence at this time. But he opened those prison doors. He is opening those prisons that you're in reality, literal prisons or metaphorical prisons, because I know some of us are in prisons today. Prisons of the mind, prisons of the soul. God is liberating people day after day. We see that, we witness that when we see, every time we see a baptism. God is doing a great work, but he is doing it for a purpose, for his people to go. You can preach this. Go. Stand and speak all the words that lead to life in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Get you all to stand with us for our closing song, number 286 in the hymnal, Wonderful Words of Life.
Father in heaven, we just thank you for the word. And we ask at this time that you will empower your people to go and to stand and to speak your wonderful words of life. In Jesus' name, amen.